Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. On the last day of February, I can't believe it's the last day of February already, 2022. It's a pleasure to have you here today. I said the same thing when January ended. I can't believe it's the end of January. Time is passing too quickly. All right, it's unbelievable. And soon it'll be the end of March. And my guests are out in California. They don't know these words I'm going to say. It's freezing here in Maine, and I'll be really glad when all the snow melts and we get to back the spring, which is still a few months away. And my guests today are Dr. Allison Scott, who's the Chief Executive Officer of the KAPOR Center Foundation, K-A-P-O-R. We're going to talk about this. This is an incredible organization. And then we also have Cameron Clay from SMASH.org, which is a national nonprofit dedicated to improving impact-driven STEM programming for students of color in K-12. And that has a bit to do with what the KAPOR Center does, which is computer science education, okay, breaking down the barriers for all kids within the education system. They're tied together. We're going to have a wonderful talk about diversity in K-12 computer science education, because we need all the brain power we can get. I don't want to leave any kids behind. And that's what both SMASH.org and the KAPOR, K-A-P-O-R, the KAPOR Center do. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That is our website for equity and access, ACE-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Our magazine, Equity and Access, our online journal, is over there. Just click on the cover. You'll read some great articles. We have great articles all over the website, great information. All our podcasts are over at ace-ed.org. And there's also a link to seltoday.org, Social Emotional Learning, our other website. Please check it all out, ace-ed.org. And without further ado, let me bring on the amazing Allison and the equally amazing Cameron, Dr. Scott. Allison, are you there? It's Larry here.
I sure am. Thank you so much for having us today.
Are you kidding me? It's my pleasure. I love what you guys do. I read about you on the web and all that sort of stuff. Allison is the Chief Executive Officer at KAPOR Center. Cameron, welcome. Cameron Clay.
Hey, how are you doing this morning? Or afternoon? You're in Maine.
Yeah, I am, and I'm about 2 minutes into the afternoon here, but it's still freezing. We're that much closer to spring, 2 minutes ahead, but it's still freezing here. Are you out in L.A., Cameron?
No, I'm actually in New York City.
Oh, you're in New York City. Then you know. There you go.
Yes, sir.
Okay, it's cold there, too, today. Okay, Allison, you're out west, right?
I am. I'm out in Oakland, where it's about a balmy maybe 55 degrees or so, which is,
there you
which is cold
we hate
for
you.
Us.
We hate you. We hate you, Allison. We hate you on the East Coast. Okay? No, we don't. We love you indeed. Okay? We're going to talk about diversity in K-12 computer science education. All right? But I want you both to tell everybody what your respective organizations really do. And this KAPOR Center, and I want you to know that Mr. KAPOR, who founded this, okay, He created Firefox, right? The platform? Am I correct? Allison?
He created Lotus 1-2-3.
Jeez. Well, I'm on Firefox right now. Unbelievable. All right, talk to me. What's the KAPOR Center do? It's really nice stuff. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for having us. I'm happy to talk about our work.
I love working with you. It's great.
We are an organization that's focused on increasing diversity and inclusion across the tech sector, and we believe, similar to what you said earlier, that if we can increase diversity and inclusion and ensure that no folks are left behind, we can harness the power and the potential of technology to create a more equitable future for everyone.
And I might add, create the harness the power of those people, okay, and not only not leave them behind for their sake, but not leave them behind for everybody's sake. These are bright people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nuts. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. There are three key areas that we focus on. We focus on computer science equity. So we're very, very passionate about ensuring that all students have the opportunity to pursue computer science education, be exposed to computing early, and can develop the skills that they need to go on, regardless of if they want to be computer science majors or go into tech, but that they have the skills that all students and all young people will need.
Please continue. Go ahead.
And our other focus area is increasing diversity in the tech sector itself. So we have a variety of programs helping to get folks into tech jobs and ensuring that the tech workplaces are diverse and inclusive.
And I hope that they are, and I hope they continue to be. It's unbelievable. And you are Dr. Scott Allison. What's your doctorate in, if I may ask? I'm curious.
You absolutely may. My doctorate is in education, and my doctoral studies are all focused on understanding education inequality and identifying solutions.
Good for you. That's terrific. Okay. Cameron, tell us about smash.org, which I know is an acronym, by the way. Okay. Student Math and Science Honors Awards. SMASH. Am I good?
Close.
It
originally started out as a Summer in Math Summer Institute. That's sort of where the name came from originally. I would say what we try to say across the organization is that we're really about smashing barriers. Smash is a pipeline program. We focus on Black, Latinx, Indigenous students, as well as low-income and first-generation students. And we really try to get them into tech. And we start in high school, right? So we're really early on the trajectory of someone's life. So we do college readiness programming, starting in high school, getting the students exposed to different STEM careers and professionals within different industries, getting them some workshops, whether that be on like specific design skills or computer science itself, and really offering them opportunities to basically make their way to and through STEM careers and college and high school at large.
That's incredible. You work nationally, right? You're in New York and you work nationally,
yes.
Correct? Okay.
Nationally,
and Allison,
yes.
Same thing? So we're nationally? KPOR?
Yes, we are a national organization as well. We are headquartered in Oakland, but we're a national organization.
Okay. I've been to Oakland. Okay, I like Oakland. All right. Talk to me. I'm sorry about the Raiders, by the way. I am. I'm sorry about that. I wanted you to know that.
You know, we're still sorry about the Raiders, so I appreciate that.
You should be. You should be. I don't blame you for that. Okay? And terrible they ran off to Las Vegas like that. All right? The two organizations are joined at the hip. Okay? And it comes through Mrs. KPOR. Talk to me about that, Allison.
So all of our organizations are actually driven by the vision of our founders, Mitch KPOR and Frida KPOR. Mitch, who has an extensive background in tech and in venture capital, and has an extensive background in diversity, inclusion, and in the early days of preventing sexual harassment in workplaces. So this is their passion.
Wow.
And these organizations set up really intentionally to focus on all aspects of what we call the tech ecosystem. So SMASH, starting with education. The center more broadly focused on the areas that I just mentioned. And then we also have a venture capital arm that invests in seed stage startups. So entrepreneurs who are launching new businesses, all with a gap closing lens, so that they have across a variety of different sectors, but to create a positive impact in the world.
Yeah, you're doing that. I got news for you. You guys do a good job. And everybody, it's KPOR, K-A-P-O-R, kporcenter.org, and then SMASH. I just want everybody to learn about this. It's SMASH, just like it sounds, .org. Okay? And now I want to talk about computer science education these days. And I'm going to start with Allison, okay? Allison, KPOR Center released a report this fall, okay, all about California computer science access. What'd you find out, Allison?
Yes. So we've been actually doing research for probably about the last 5-6 years on computer science access, and we released a report looking at California, but the trends in the data are very consistent nationally.
Go ahead. Do it.
And so what we see is that not all students have the opportunity to participate in computer science in high school. You would think in California, with being the a major hub of technology, that we are preparing our young people for those careers. Only 42% of our high schools are offering computer science courses, and I think nationally it's about 50%, and it varies obviously across state. But what's very concerning to us is that of those 42% of high schools, we see that students of color are much less likely to have access to computer science courses, and low-income students are also less likely to have access to these courses that prepare students for post-secondary and career pathways.
I'm going to ask you this. Allison, in California, is computer science on the standard curriculum?
No, sir.
Is it part of the
curriculum?
Don't call me sir. You have to call me Larry. You must call me Larry. You can never call me sir. That gives you one demerit. Okay, I don't want to have
fair
tell
enough,
you what happens
enough.
When you get to two. Okay, so explain this to me. All right, you cross the Oakland Bay Bridge. Okay, you're into San Francisco. You drive south. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I believe you get to Silicon Valley if you do that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, and if you went the other way, you'd wind up in Sacramento, which is the capital of the state. Do they
Absolutely.
Know how the high-tech industry is in Sacramento? Have they ever made that drive? Okay, because how could they not, and this is everywhere, in this age,
mm-hmm.
not have computer science as part of the standard curriculum, which is absolutely absurd. Speak to me on this. And Cameron, you're going to get your chance. I'm just focusing on Allison here at the beginning. Allison, talk to me on this. What's going on?
I'm so glad you mentioned it in that way. I mean, the stark contrast of having, you know, that not just a national tech hub, but a global tech hub. You have some of the largest, most influential tech companies in the world based here in our backyard.
I would say so.
We've been working on through a coalition called CS for California that I'm the co-director for, is we're working on trying to get state-level policies to do exactly what you just said, to ensure that all students have computer science courses in high school, to ensure that we're preparing teachers to teach computer science, and that there's adequate funding. And believe it or not, this has been a long haul for us here in California. There are some states that have that mandate computer science. There are some states that make it a graduation requirement, and so we are still working on it. We think this is incredibly important for the future of our young people and quite honestly for the future of our country.
Let me swing over to Cameron. Cameron, you work with kids all the time in schools and all that. Kids love their computers.
Yes.
Am I missing something here? All right, kids love their computers, okay? A baby fresh out of the womb, just born, can program my remote. They know that. All right? And so I'm curious, okay, as you look at this, okay, kids of color, okay, just the generic kids of color, they love their computers, okay? If you want to engage kids in school, you teach them what they love, and then they'll get into it. As you look at it from the Smash.org side, what do you see in terms of high-tech and computer education? Okay? I mean,
yeah.
It's nuts.
That's a great
nuts.
Question.
How could you get?
Yeah, definitely.
On one side, they talk about engaging kids. And on the other side, they take the one thing that's guaranteed to engage them and don't make it part of the whole curriculum. This makes no sense. Speak, my friend. Cameron, go ahead.
Yeah. These are great questions you're asking, Larry. And I would say there's the gaps that we're seeing across the country, right, with students not necessarily having access to computer science programming.
Unbelievable.
These are exacerbated when it comes to the Black community, Latinx community, Indigenous communities as well.
Of course.
And that's where SMASH comes in, right? We're really geared on addressing issues in these communities when it comes to computer science education. Our data, over 99% of our alumni graduate with high school diplomas, and 85% of those same students matriculate out of college within 5 years, which is significantly higher than the national average, which is around 55%. And so I would say I can't speak for what everyone else is doing, but I think we're doing, a solid job of what we set out to do.
I know you're doing that. It's tough out there. All right, it's just wild. Allison, let me swing back to you. Give us some data. What was the results of the survey? What did they really find out? What's the data talk about?
Sure. Now you're speaking my language because I love to talk data.
Go, Dave.
So,
go.
One of the key that we mentioned, again, just 42% of high schools offer computer science. So that's despite a whole lot of attention
42%?
To the topic. Uh-huh. And we've seen, like, you know, if you look at a trend graph, marginal improvement from, like, I believe it was 39% the year before, the research that we did the year before. So very marginal still means 58% of high schools have zero computer science courses offered at all. And then we found that low-income and rural schools are two times less likely to offer computer science. And about four times less likely to offer advanced placement computer science. So again, the advanced placement courses, while can be controversial and for a bunch of different reasons, but what we do know from the research is that students who take advanced placement computer science are much less likely to go on and major in computer science. And so it's a critical course for increasing diversity in the post-secondary computer science pipeline as well. And then one of the really stark statistics for us, and this number has not increased over the last few years either, across the state of California, just 561 Black students took an AP computer science course. So as we're thinking about things like
across the whole state?
Across the whole state, exactly.
561.
That's correct, 561.
Oh, my God.
And when we think about, you know, restricting access and opportunity and what that does to limit the opportunities that these students have to go on, again, to major in computer science, to become tech entrepreneurs, to gain access to high-wage tech jobs, all of those things, we're finding that there are very significant barriers that are starting early in high school.
Well, you know, I have a question. I know you guys are focusing on high school. I want to throw this one over to Cameron. Cameron, you said before that you want to get these kids as they're starting high school. So let's say ninth grade. Am I correct? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, we start the summer after ninth grade.
Okay, and that's cool. But I have a question. Why aren't we starting even earlier? Because kids' interest, okay, tends to start in my opinion, much earlier. You're welcome to tell me different or whatever. Okay, why aren't you going after starting in elementary school? And because if you do that, there's going to be a push, you know, to get them really excited all the way through middle school, et cetera. I just think it's important, but you must have a reason. Talk to me.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, I think one of the things that we really focus on is, like, exposure, like you're speaking to. We found that, like, as soon as the earliest possible, you know, students are exposed to computer science, the better chances that they have for, like, exploring careers in that lane. We consistently hear from our alumni that prior to our program, a tech career wasn't even on their radar. We deal with first generation students, and so, like, if you're not exposed to these things early on, I think it's very tough to see a future for yourself. For us, I think we really focus on high school students just by the nature of it's a little bit easier for us to work with students that are a little closer up the tech pipeline. Traditionally, we focused on high school. I wouldn't say that we're limited to that, though. We've been working together with Dr. Scott's team and across the center to figure out, you know, other strategies. These are just what we've been tackling now, I would say.
That's
but
good.
You're right, though. You know, there's a piece of the puzzle that also needs to be addressed, which is even earlier than high school, because at the end of the day, substantial impact doesn't happen, like, in an hour, in one workshop, or even over a few weeks or one semester. You know, it takes a long time immersive investment in these students for us to see the changes that we're working towards. And I think that's why across our three centers or across our three organizations, we do take a holistic long-term approach, right? Our students, yes, they start out in high school, which may be a little bit later in their lifetime, but we're working with them from freshman year through college, and even we have some early workplace development programs as well that we've been launching through the K4 Center and the Foundation as well.
Good, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot by that question, but I was curious as to your thinking about that. And when you say you're working with kids through SMASH.org, what are you actually doing? Do you work with the school? Do you have an after-school program? Are you giving money to the schools to get a computer lab? I mean, I'm just throwing these out. What do you guys actually do at SMASH?
Yeah.
And I know you
yeah.
do it with your good
Great
heart,
question.
But what is the actual program? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So our flagship program is SMASH Academy. This is a completely free 3-year intensive STEM focused college prep program. And throughout this program, we have summer residency. So during the summer, our scholars participate in residential program on college campuses across the country.
Cool.
We partner with universities like UC Berkeley, Stanford, Morehouse, Northeastern University. So that's the summertime. During the school year and throughout the year, we have monthly programming and networking events. A lot of our curriculum is rooted in project-based learning. We have workshops that use interdisciplinary frameworks to advance, you know, students' core STEM skills, but then also cultivate their curiosity about how they can use those skills and really learn how to leverage, you know, some of the skills they'll need in this coming era. You know, we talk about 21st century skills and being able to give the students projects and things that are relevant to their lives, you know, themes around environmental justice,
mm-hmm.
Food sovereignty, and racial equity. And so we're really
yeah.
looking at it from a holistic perspective. And I think it's also more than just coursework too. You know, we offer a community of peers for young people as well as mentors. We have a super strong alumni network as well as instructors who are educators in their day jobs, and they take the time during the summer and on their weekends, and they act as mentors to our students, you know, and they maintain these connections. I have one instructor who every summer for probably the last 5 years, she's a educator in the Washington, D.C. school district, and she flies every summer from Washington, D.C. to Detroit to be with our students there.
Wow.
And, you know, they love her. They're always asking her for advice,
but
whether
they're
in high school still or in college now, you know. So that network, I think, of support is really what makes SMASH a great place for students to learn and cultivate a lifelong interest in STEM.
Here you go. I love that. And how does a school or student find out about you? Besides me saying smash.org and everybody can go there, okay, how do you reach out to people? How do you work with teachers?
Yeah,
with students? Go. Yeah.
Yeah, so we have our partnerships throughout various cities throughout the nation. We have folks that are on our staff there. Shout out to my site directors. They are the boots on the ground, if you will. They're going
mm-hmm.
to PTA meetings. They're pulling up to the Boys and Girls Club, their local NSBE organizations, and they're taking names. They're asking people. They're reaching out to their networks. They're talking to principals. They're talking to counselors and recruiting, having recruiting events with students. So it's really a local community effort. And whatever community we have a SMASH program, we're pulling on educators and community representatives to go out and bring students our way so that we can help them.
And just curious, as you look at that, you must have this data somewhere, okay? As you,
yeah.
the students are very interested when they're in high school. They go on to college. How many of them go into STEM careers? You may have said that, but I'm just curious
wow.
if I hadn't asked.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thank
yes,
you.
I
That's why they
do.
Pay me the big bucks. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So we have
it's a joke. They don't. 70, yeah.
Last year we had 7-8% of our SMASH seniors committed to majoring in STEM, and the national average is about 45%.
Wow.
And then 85% of our alumni graduate from college within 5 years, and they're really in all sorts of lands in STEM. You know, we have folks that are going into strict tech careers, and then we have
mm-hmm.
folks that are going into public health. I just had a dinner not too long ago, I think in early January, with an alumni who was working on their master's in public health at NYU. And to listen to them talk about their experience with SMASH and how they
yeah,
gained so
cool.
much about
that's
you
cool.
know, what they were going to do in the future, it's pretty amazing what they're able to do.
It is, and I'm going to, and that is, it's incredible. Thank you for that overview. Okay, Allison,
yes.
How involved is the tech industry in this? Because they are short of people. Okay, and they need people. They need well trained people. All right, the industry has to step up. I always yell and scream about industry stepping up, or there's not going to be a workforce because school districts are strapped. What's the word from the industry? Like Mitch Kapor himself. Who steps up? Allison.
Yeah, I could not agree more. It's absolutely an imperative for the tech industry broadly, and for, again, as we think about filling the gaps that are needed for employees, not just now, but going into the future. We see like tech careers are among the fastest growing. They're also among the highest paying, very lucrative careers. And so we have seen the tech sector, I think, play a pretty significant role in the broadening participation in computing movement, or the CS for All movement, supporting a bunch of efforts. What
yeah.
I would like to see is them to do even more with the tremendous amount of resources that they have to ensure, you know, things like we're saying, that students have access to computer science education. All students still need to have access to broadband, as we know we went online.
Let me help you. Mark Zuckerberg can afford to put a computer lab in every single school in the country almost. He could probably do
Absolutely.
That if he wanted to.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. And I think it's and one of the critiques that I have is that they've spent a lot of money on you know, amazing programs. Some have supported SMASH, and so obviously these are very important, but how do we get to scale? So how do we get to ensuring that this is ongoing funding, that it's aligned with state resources and budgets, so that we're not just asking the states to come up with the money, but the tech industry is contributing significantly.
Yeah, they have to contribute a lot. And in your opinion, okay, and by the way, I just want to make this point. SMASH, although they're certainly interested in the tech industry, okay, is a STEM organization, where Kapor is more of a computer science organization. Am I correct? Would that be a good way to say that? Cameron, is that good?
I would say SMASH is a STEM organization with a capital T for tech. I think what we have seen,
all the letters
and Dr.
in STEM
Scott
are capitalized. That's not fair. They're all capitalized.
Yeah, we're gonna give it a super capitalization. I think what we see when we're dealing with students is they might not necessarily, and Dr. Scott could probably speak to this well as well, they might not necessarily even understand what careers in tech look like, right? So sometimes we're starting with a broader frame and saying, hey, you like science, you like biology, you like mathematics. Okay, well, here's how those fields converge into tech, into STEM at large, right? And I think that is the tricky part about computer science not being as prolific as we would like it to be. Students aren't even hearing about it as a field.
That's right. And you can't expect them to have an interest in something. They have no idea that it doesn't even relate to them, when of course it does. They just don't see it. Okay? And
exactly.
It's just not. So let me go back then. Allison, okay, as you look at all this, what would you like a good computer science, and I'll extrapolate a little bit into there and call STEM. We can just concentrate on computers. What do you want that to really look like in schools? Allison.
Yes. So if I could wave a magic wand, I think there are probably three different areas to focus on.
You are allowed to wave a magic wand. It just won't do any good. But please feel free to wave
wonderful.
One. It's okay.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
I'll wave away.
Yeah. Wave away.
So
yeah.
We can't fight for equity in computer science while we still have deeply unequal schools. So that's the first point that I want to make. You know, we still have lack of resources, disproportionate access to quality teachers, like some of these very, very basic standard inequities in schools. How schools are funded is still a huge challenge. And then, as I was mentioning earlier, when we went online due to COVID, it really like shined another spotlight on how few students have access to reliable broadband at home or to technology. So as we're thinking about computer science, I would say, one, we need to address the unequal school systems as they currently exist, all subjects. And that will have implications for computer science. Two, and I'm glad that you brought that point up earlier, too, that we think that computer science is important across all grade levels, right? So starting early in kindergarten and introducing students to computing concepts, as you mentioned, young people are playing with technology very, very early. So getting them beyond playing with technology to understanding how technology works and how it applies in their everyday lives. And so this is what we think should be integrated across K through 12. So kindergarten, you know, sixth grade, across subject areas. And then one other key point that I want to make is computing, not just for computing's sake. So not just thinking about what is the technology, but why is that technology created? What is it used for? What are potential harms? And really focus on like the ethical implications of technology, thinking about algorithms. One thing that I really am interested in making sure all young people understand is not just what computer science is, how to code, how to create technologies, but understanding the algorithms that drive information that they consume, for example, in their social media feeds. And I think that's just critical for all young people to have an understanding of, regardless of what field that they go into, but just to be functioning members of society.
You're absolutely right. All those things you just said, I take back what I said about Zuckerberg. He should actually be in a course that teaches all that sort of stuff. Go after him for the money, okay? That should be, okay? It's unbelievable. To understand these algorithms, okay, and to understand the equity question, the industry must stand up. That industry has to stand up and do what's right and get these kids going there. It's not fair to the kids, and it's not fair to the industry, okay, that they're not. And the fact what you just said, and we're all about equity and access here, yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable, okay, that in this day and age, all right, well, it's not unbelievable because it's been going on for 150 years, all right, that the schools are acting like this, okay? It's just not fair. It's just not fair.
If I may, the one other point that kind of ties this all back together is what we haven't talked about is what the current tech sector looks like. And we talked about how lucrative that sector is, how much wealth it's generating. I think it's $520 billion generated in California's tech industry alone. And the lack of diversity. So who's in those tech companies, who has access to those jobs, is still very, very, very unequal. So you think about, like, from a broader perspective, communities of color being kind of excluded from, again, the power and potential and wealth generation of technology. So just wanted to make that point because it all kind of ties back together to early
access. It sure as hell does. It sure as hell does. And I'm going to say what I said at the beginning. We're stupidly, and we have done this in everything for the last 250 years, okay? We are stupidly leaving out a gigantic section of the community, okay? All that brain power, okay, that we've wasted over the course of centuries, I might add, okay? And what we're wasting, it's absurd. And we're paying the price right now with the quote, the great retirement. Everybody, you know, everybody needs workers. It's unbelievable. You guys are pretty good. I got to tell you, you're running the ball, okay? So if I say to you, would you like to write us an article in the magazine all about all this? Would you two like to do that? We'd love it.
Oh, Allison? I'd love to.
Oh, most definitely.
Sam, you down to do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, Mos Def over there, okay? One of my favorite actors, I might add, okay? He is. All right, he's unbelievable. All right, Cameron and Allison, okay? Okay, you want to watch a great movie. You guys never saw this movie. See if you can find it called Something the Lord Made. Okay? It's about it's about heart transplants and who actually invented the technology of all the technology they use in heart transplants with Mos Def and Alan Rickman. You're going to love it. Okay?
Oh,
you find that movie. Something the Lord Made. I say that to everybody. It's an unbelievable film. All right? Check it out. I'm gonna write you guys, and we're going to get this together because this is a great topic for what we do. We're really involved in all this stuff. I loved having you on. Thank you for being here, both of you. You were terrific. Cameron, thank you. And let me
thank you so much.
Thank you. Wonderful.
I do have to ask one other question, Cameron. Cameron?
Yes.
Nets or Knicks? Nets or Knicks? Nets or
State
Knicks?
Golden State Warriors, baby. Golden State Warriors.
Really? You're in New York.
Good answer.
New York.
Yes, right. I'm from the Bay Area, born and raised.
Oh, okay. Then I will tell you something. Yes. All right, the Golden State Warriors, where were they originally from? Big shot. Go ahead, tell me.
From
tell
San Francisco.
Me. You're wrong. You be wrong. Okay?
Oh, really?
The San Francisco Warriors, okay, were the Philadelphia Warriors when the NBA got started. And
oh,
they were
man,
the team that moved out. Well, I'm from Philly, so I can tell you this. They were one of the first teams to move out west, them and the Lakers.
Oh, man.
Lakers were Minneapolis.
Wow, yeah.
The Lakers were Minneapolis, and the Warriors were Philadelphia.
Ooh, my Warriors history is not together. I can talk to you all about Niners
look this
history,
up.
Though.
Yeah, look this
yeah,
up.
No,
and
I
went to over.
You, yeah.
And when you hear this, I went to Overbrook High School, where Will Chamberlain went. He's older than me, obviously.
There when you were there?
Yeah, he was not. He was 10 years behind him.
Okay.
10 years.
Okay.
Okay? All right? He was the best, man. It was unbelievable. Okay?
Tell me, what's your favorite Philly cheesesteak spot in Philadelphia?
You're not going to believe this. It's called John's Roast Pork. It's in South
John's
Philly,
Roast
right
Pork.
By where the
okay.
right by the IKEA store. Okay? That and Jim's.
Okay.
Jim's at 4th and South. And John's Roast Pork, right by the IKEA in South Philly. Trust me on this,
okay,
you two, if you ever get to Philly. Okay?
Okay, I'll be there next month. I'll check it out.
And again, do it. John's Roast Pork, okay, or Jim's at 4th and South. Either way, you aren't going to go wrong. Okay? Allison, I'm sorry to leave you out of this, but again, I'm sorry about the Raiders. Right?
I know. I really appreciate that. We're still sad about it here.
I believe that. All right? You're going to hear from me about writing. You guys are terrific. I'm so glad we did this. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting us on. This is awesome. And thank you for all that
awesome.
You do. Education equity.
Thanks, pal.
Thank
appreciate
you.
That. All right?
I
you're going to
really
help us do it.
I appreciate your passion.
Yes. We're going to work together on all this. I promise you. Okay?
Let's
both
do
of
it.
You.
Let's
take
do
care,
it.
Stay safe, enjoy, and I'll be back to you. Okay? Thank you both. Bye.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Dr. Allison Scott of the KAPOR Center Foundation, she's CEO, KAPOR. Cameron Clay, smash.org. Check it out. We're going to archive at ace-ed.org. Check out what we do regarding equity, regarding SEL and SEL Today. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.